You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
That it is. What an active, fantastic weekend it was for the New York Knicks. Wait, no, it wasn't. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. By all means, hit us up over at Twitter. We are at Chris Carlin over there. And, of course, the video live stream is at ESPN New York 98.7's Twitter handle, as well as ESPN New York on Facebook and my YouTube page. All the links are over on Twitter. We will get to the Jets and Adam Gase really out there earning his money right now. And we will also get to Luis Rojas returning for 2021 and why, while I understand it, there was nothing to really justify it. We'll get to all of that in just a little bit. But I do want to start with a relatively inactive weekend for the New York Knicks. No, wait, I forgot. They traded Ed Davis for Amari Spellman, Jacob Evans, and two more second-round picks. By the time it's over, the Knicks are going to own all of the second-round picks. I'm sorry, I forgot. They brought back Elfrid Payton. You know what else? Nerlens Noel to a one-year deal. Thank God. And you know what? Alec Burks is also coming, so there's a lot to be apathetic about. You know, honestly, this is getting to a point with the Knicks that when you have a few days of actual excitement, you almost don't want to admit that you know the other shoe's going to drop, or you almost forget that the other shoe's going to drop. And that other shoe dropping was just the fact that nobody wants to come here yet. And frankly, there's good and there's bad to that. We look at what happened over the weekend, or rather what didn't happen over the weekend, and how you look at free agents like Gordon Hayward, like DJ Augustine, all wanting to go other places, and you remember all of a sudden that this is not the destination that it used to be, and that Rome or the world's most famous arena weren't built or rebuilt in a day. It takes time. And Leon Rose and World Wide West are the right guys to try to attract people to come here. And the right guys to put into place that the infrastructure, the atmosphere, the culture is going to be attractive. And it's going to be a place once again where players are going to want to come. It hasn't been that for a while for a myriad of reasons, whether it's the owner, whether it's the fact that it's been a terrible organization for a long, long time, whether it's just being in a situation where you just make too many changes and players get frustrated and they want out the door, there has been nothing about it. Or just frankly, younger players that don't understand or don't have any way to connect with Madison Square Garden being a special place to play other than being in New York City and when they come here and realizing it's a big stage, but not necessarily wanting to be here permanently because it hasn't been the best chance to win. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. New York, in a long time, has not presented the best chance to win for other players. It hasn't been attractive primarily because of that. And so this reinforces a point that we made last week that I think we all have to understand. If you're not going to be able to get players to become New York Knicks of their own volition, you're going to have to make them do it and then show them how the atmosphere and the culture is changed. You know, in a lot of ways, it's not unlike what the Jets are going through right now. It's very similar. What do the Jets have to do right now? They have to convince free agents with all the money they have to spend this coming offseason that it's going to be a good place. They have to sell Trevor Lawrence on wanting to be a New York Jet, that he's actually going to have a good chance to be successful in his career here. And this is not a place that you have to avoid at all costs. The Knicks are in a very similar situation. I mean, let's just say this was a year from now and they had the number one overall pick. And, you know, we're talking about the kid Cunningham, who's supposed to be the next coming great star. You know, a guy that's, a shooting guard, a 6'7 shooting guard, and he's, you know, hyped by everybody. I can't sit here and tell you I know a whole lot about him, but from all accounts, he's the next big thing. And if he's going to, a year from now, going to say, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be then. I don't want to be anywhere near that culture because of the reputation they have. No, Leon and Wes and all those guys can sell. But sometimes you have to realize that there's only so much you can sell before it genuinely sets in that you're going to have to make a trade to go get somebody, to force them to come here, and frankly, put them in a position where they have to come here, reclaim a reputation, show they're a great player again, and show that they can win a championship if somebody else comes here to join them. Well, the Knicks right now have one option when it comes to that. And I know we've talked about this an awful lot, but this weekend just proved it, guys. You have to wait out this Russell Westbrook situation. Now, I said earlier, it's actually good in some ways, right? I'm glad the Knicks didn't spend $120 million on Gordon Hayward. That would have been a mess. A four-year deal at $30 million per year for Hayward versus a three-year deal at $50 million per for Westbrook, that's not close in my mind. I would absolutely want Westbrook, and it's Charlotte. Like, they had to hand over that kind of money to get Gordon Hayward to go there after all along he wanted to go to Indiana but couldn't get there. They had to do it. The Knicks now are in a position where they have to make that trade. They have to bring a Westbrook here to show everybody else that this can be a good place. And Westbrook needs to save his own reputation in a lot of ways. You know, if he's so desperate to win, and he was so frustrated with what was going on in Houston because he's trying to hold players accountable and they don't want to hear it, well, that's a problem when you're Russell Westbrook. There's nothing wrong with having that mentality, but what you do have to realize is at 32 years old, those opportunities are not flying off the shelves at you. So if you're going to come here and you're going to get some young talent around you, which the Knicks have some young talent, if they can develop Barrett, if Mitchell Robinson continues to be better, if they continue to, you know, if Obi Toppin can come in and play a big role as a rookie, which he should at 22 years old. If all of that's the case and you're Westbrook and you're playing here and you're getting this team better, and in a 72-game season, you find your way to the playoffs because that's the only way the Knicks are getting there, then you have to do it. You can't sit and wait on this tanking garbage anymore, okay? I'm not telling you to be impatient because all anybody has been forever is patient. What you have to do is take matters into your own hands as opposed to just waiting and waiting and waiting and hoping. Again, hope is a deadly word in a lot of ways. Hope has killed the Met fan for years. Hope has killed the Jet fan for years. Knicks fans haven't even had hope. But when you're hoping to get the number one overall pick and there's a lottery, we've already seen what can happen when you don't get it. So it can't be about hope anymore. It has to be about putting some asses in the seats. And I mean on the bench. Guys who can actually play. Westbrook can play. And look, We can sit here and debate Westbrook all night long, okay? Please now, after the dust has settled a little bit, tell me what the option is. Giannis isn't signing here. It's not happening. Can we be clear? And the big extensions have been handed out all over the place. Jason Tatum got his. Donovan Mitchell. Remember how the Knicks were going to be in on Donovan Mitchell because he wants to be in New York and all that? No, he wants to be in Utah where he got $200 million. Don't mistake the idea that money just doesn't do it alone anymore. The only way that kind of money really does it is for the players that you don't want. Gordon Hayward proved the point this weekend. You don't want Gordon Hayward here. He took the most money. It was in Charlotte. It's $120 million. What's Gordon Hayward going to win in Charlotte? A squadouche. You don't want that guy here. You want the players that can be picky when they are getting the big money no matter the situation. That's who you want. So what you have to do now is take a risk, not one that I think is terribly large, and bank on somebody really having something to prove. Because if there was ever anybody in the NBA that has something to prove about winning, it's Russell Westbrook. I told you. If these free agents are not going to come of their own volition, you have to give them a reason. And that reason is Russell Westbrook. Because right now, you know, Leon Rose can only do so much as far as trying to talk guys into coming and having great relationships with guys. Let us start tonight on the phones. Anthony in the Bronx. Tony, what's going on?
Hey, Carter, how's everything, man?
I'm great, brother. How are you?
I'm good. I just have a couple comments about how you were saying about how the Knicks and everything and how we like really didn't do much this free agency. And I get that point. I get you 100% on that. But I also like that we didn't try to do too much, that we didn't give Hayward $120 million or we didn't give a Bertans almost $90 million.
See, I would not have had a problem with Bertans. Bertans can shoot. He can shoot the lights out.
He can shoot, but once you drafted Obi, all the other bids kind of went out the picture in the free agency because you want to give him that chance to grow and develop and become maybe that star that you was looking for the whole time.
Now, look, I understand that, but I hope Toppin turns out to be that, and I love him as a player. I think he could be really, really good for the Knicks, but we're a ways away from what you're talking about. Like right now, year one, we want to see that guy come in and be a solid player.
No, absolutely, 100% right. But that's why I feel like we did the right thing by not going out and getting somebody to stump his development. So I didn't mind missing out on certain free agents, and I'm certainly glad we didn't give Hayward $120 million. I feel like that would have been the old Knicks. That would have been the old regimen, the old regime, just trying out to get a quick fix. I like what Leon Rose did. I like all the little savvy moves he made, getting the assets. Basically, he turned $5 million into two players and four second-round picks. Like, just little things like that show that the Knicks is going in the right direction. Of course, it's going to take time, and we haven't had a regime that builds the right way, but I feel like we're going in the right steps between the draft, between some of the signings we did. We didn't do nothing to kill our cap for the future years, and we still have room to make trades.
But you listen, if you're the big one is Hayward, okay? The fact that they did not go and sign Hayward to that kind of money, thank God, because that would have been a disaster. Honestly, if you had added Gordon Hayward to this mix, how much better were the Knicks? They were better, but they were not a really, really solid playoff team, a playoff team.
12 seed to what? Maybe a 9 seed?
Yeah, somewhere in there. You know. Right. Whereas, if you're talking about somebody, like Westbrook, you can talk about the eighth and the seventh seed. And I'm so tired of talking about tanking. You know, and I'm reading all about that today. Oh, we're in tank mode again this year. Oh, dear God. I mean, how much longer? How much longer do you sit around and lose games and hope that you become the team that gets the number one overall pick at the right time?
Carlin, I'm right with you. Look, I'm about to be 27. I've been a Knicks fan my whole life. I haven't seen a championship.
There's a lot of people a lot older than you that haven't seen a championship, including me. And I'm 20 years older than you, dude.
So it's just like, I understand it, but I also don't want us to just go out and try to do the quick fix that we always
Of course. Do. And of course. That's right. They didn't do the quick fix in the bad way, okay? I agree with that. But they do need to do something when the opportunity is presenting itself. And with Westbrook, with Westbrook right now, they're in an amazing situation. And thanks for the call. They're in an amazing situation. They don't have to give the Rockets a damn thing, because the Rockets need to get rid of that salary, and there are not many places he can go now. I mean, the Hawks doled out some money this weekend. Can he go there? I don't think that's likely. I don't think so. I just think that right now they're in a very unique situation where, yes, they didn't do anything that killed them. Okay? They didn't do a lot that helped them. Other than the draft, they didn't do very much that helped them at all. John in Freehold is next. John, you're up next on 98.7 ESPN. What's going on?
How you doing, Chris?
I'm great, John. How are you?
Fantastic. Chris, you got to move on from this Russell Westbrook conversation now. That would be a reckless, irresponsible move on behalf of the Knicks.
Why?
The guy's 32 years old. He's had nagging injuries the past 2 years. He has an exorbitant contract. And you said you bring him in and other people will come. No, name the free agent that joined him in OKC when he was there. You know, with a stellar roster in place and a great general manager. Who went to go play with him in Houston with Daryl Morey as a solid general manager and a better team?
Well, he was in Houston for 1 year, and he got traded there.
I know he was there 1 year, but who wanted to join that
James
team?
James Harden was there already. When you have those two guys, you can't pay anybody else.
Chris, look. The
Houston thing you can't sell. And Paul George was with him in Oklahoma City. Paul George was with him in Oklahoma City and went to play with Kawhi. And frankly, I would have done the same thing. But what I'm saying about Westbrook is this guy's got something he has to prove, and that is he knows what his reputation is. He knows exactly what you're talking about right now. And he has something that he has to prove. So if it's not going to be in Houston, why shouldn't it be here with younger players that can get better and turn this into an attractive situation?
I don't see it becoming an attractive situation for the timeline aspect of it, Chris. He's 32 years old. The players you're drafting are developing now. He's not going to be anything at that point.
He's not 36. How long are you just supposed to wait? How long are you supposed to sit and wait and do nothing and develop? How long?
What happened in years past is they didn't develop because they didn't draft properly. They seem to have the right people in place now to draft properly. I like what they did this year. They grabbed two good kids here that they can grow with.
I agree. I like both of them, too.
You look what – listen, I wanted Sam Presti to come in here, Chris. Okay, Sam Presti gets it right all the time. It doesn't – you mentioned the word tanking. You don't have to tank. Sam Presti gets guys in the middle of the first round, late first round, second round.
Well, Sam's not here.
Look at his track record.
I'm not arguing that Sam's not a great NBA executive. He's amazing. He's not here. He's not here.
I understand that, but these guys that are here now have a proven track record of success. And
no, they don't. Leon Rose has never been a GM before, and Worldwide West has been a relationship guy. We're basically walking around for CAA, shaking hands, and trying to facilitate things. They don't have a reputation for building organizations.
Chris, I'm talking about the guy they brought in from Cleveland and the guy they brought in from Utah. That's who I'm talking about. Come on, Chris.
Because we're talking about the guys who were in charge. And thanks for the call. And I understand what you're trying to say. You're talking about Westbrook like he's done. He's done at 27-7-7 this past year. He had an injury in the playoffs. Go look at Russell Westbrook's career and tell me the extended period of time that he has missed, that has crushed him. Extended. You know, it's not like Gordon Hayward. It's not like that. I'm just pulling up Westbrook's numbers just to prove the point as far as games played. I'm not counting this year, 57 games in whatever they ended up playing, 60. Year before, 73, 80, 81, 80, 67. This is my point. He's out there every night. 27 points a game this year for Houston. Next to James Harden. 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Wait, I'm sorry. No. 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Come on. He's a dynamite player. Why is it that you have to sit and wait and wait and wait and wait? There's one thing to be impatient, okay? If you want to argue that they haven't had the right people here and they haven't drafted well, I can't argue with that. They have not drafted well. They have not had the right people here in charge. It's been a debacle. 100% debacle. So now if you have to sit for another 4 or 5 years just to get to the playoffs, I don't know how much that works. That doesn't work for me. If your whole year is really revolving around a ping pong ball, okay. It only worked to a degree for the Sixers. I mean, remember, with the ping pong balls, they drafted 3 centers 3 years in a row, and they got Ben Simmons later. So they got Embiid and Simmons as the two pieces of what they're doing. And, you know, listen, they're a very good team. They lost a brutal series to Toronto 2 years ago. They got their doors blown off by the Celtics this year, and they're trying to break it up. So my point is simply this. Don't sit and be patient forever. Here's the best part, right? As Edwin Rosario points out on our comment section over on the live stream, you don't need Hayward. You get Ingram. Speak on it, Carlin. Well, the first part you had right. And that's what we're going to reference, because I'm not counting on Brandon Ingram, okay? I don't think he's leaving New Orleans. But I would say this. With Hayward, you did not need him in any way. I honestly think that was the best development of the weekend. If you were not going to get infinitely better, don't get worse at an expensive price. And that's the bullet that they dodged, so to speak. You know, if they were really going to get after it, I would think that you have to... You're going to get after it in free agency, and you're going to spend that kind of money, and you're going to do it on Gordon Hayward. You talk about rolling the dice. That's really rolling the dice. And that's why a team like Charlotte had to do it. Because what is Charlotte winning right now? You know, they have to go and overpay. What makes them an attractive situation? They have to go overpay to get a talent that's okay, decent. But Gordon Hayward is not going to make any team a championship contender. He's just not. Not at this point in his career. 800-919-3776. They didn't overpay. So that helps. That makes me feel, you know, all right about it. If they had overpaid, that would be more of a problem. RX Meister 55. Give it a rest, Chris. With his cap-crippling deal. Your boy, says their last caller who said, who joined Westbrook in OKC needs to remember that PG re-signed in OKC with Westbrook over the Lakers with LeBron, who wanted Paul George. And then Kevin Durant says, simply, you're high. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. And now Nero chimes in. You got to stop pushing the Westbrook trade. He will not make the team better. He will not attract free agents to the Knicks. The course we are on is legit path, draft, and build stars. So others want to come to New York. Okay. You can sit through a few more years of nobody caring. Nobody giving a damn. Nice players in the draft. Hopefully they continue to be headed in that direction. And you can sit around and you can hope and you can have a draft lottery party if you want. And let's pray that the Knicks somehow end up with the number one pick again. Only to get let down, and next thing you know, you end up with the fourth pick. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to me that you guys want to sit around and watch this, that you want to sit around and wait. I understand not spending it in the wrong area. I'm all for that. This is not the wrong area. Spike in Jersey. What's up, Spike?
Well, good evening, my friend. Three quick things for my buddy here. Got to run these by the big fella. First, I want to defend my friend John from Freehold. He's a bring-it-down-to-the-studs guy. 4 years ago, he suggested Bill Daughtry, who was working in the mornings, and I and John do a podcast. Never came to fruition. But John's a bring-it-down-to-the-studs guy. John's probably mid-50s, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. I can't wait any longer, and I agree with John in better times. But here's the way my weekend started. I left you Friday wanting Fred Van Fleet and Victor Oladipo, remember?
Yep.
I wind up with Austin Rivers and Elfrid Payton.
Yeah.
Then I got to sit through the Rutgers game listening to my favorite play-by-play guy. Thought you were going to have a hemorrhage there. I don't want to bring up too much about it because it's not a big topic here. But, boy, was I pissed off. I'll leave it at that. I'll let you talk about it if you get a minute.
I get it, but it's you know, considering what's going on, it's much better than the alternative of what we've seen the last few years.
Yes. That, if you take that out of it, you're 100% correct.
Well, but you do have to grade on a curve to a degree.
I understand, but it was there and it slipped away. And Michigan, I wanted to see the Harbaugh, you know, I wanted to see him exit the stage right. Listen, it was the Rutgers.
Listen, would I have been
much
up if that had been the game that had put him away after 78-0 a couple of years ago? No, I wouldn't.
Man.
Have.
And I'll leave you with this, and thanks for the time and all you do for everybody. Here's where I see it. I've come back on wanting Westbrook because of one thing I learned through some of my so-called sources and listening and talking to people. When Oladipo went to Oklahoma City, he made that leap from really good player. I think he was an all-star 1 year. I might be wrong, but I think I'm right. And they asked him why. Now, he's a little kooky, you know, with some of the things he says. But he said he watched Westbrook's workout ethic.
Yeah.
Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's not the only one.
Okay. Oh, well, there you go. Now, that says it all. You're right. He's 32, not 36. This guy's got a motor. When it conks out, it's just going to stall out in the middle of the Garden State. Then it's going to be over. But he's going to go, as we called in Brooklyn, tear-ass basketball from baseline to baseline. And only John Wall can keep up with him dribbling the ball. And he's had how many knee surgeries? I can't count. So I've come full circle, but he can teach the three youngsters. We know who they are. R.J. Mitchell and the new fella.
Maybe he could teach him the work ethic. The last year of the deal, the player that he is right now. But I wouldn't expect it to be, and thanks for the call, I would expect him to be more of a guy that is still playing at a very high level right now. But by the time he gets to 35, I don't think he's going to be an abject disaster or just killing you. I don't see that happening. I see him continuing to be a very productive player. What I'm looking at is this, okay? This year, he comes in. Barrett develops. You have Toppin come in and be a factor right away, because I think he can be. Robinson's in a good spot. They approach 500 this year. Is it all fair? 72 games, can the Knicks win 36? Can they come close to that? I don't think that's outlandish if you had Westbrook. Then what that shows me is somebody comes here next year and wants to be here because all of a sudden they got a great situation. Carlin at, 849-800-919-3776. You know, the Jets just give you, it's such a conundrum these days because you watch and you want them to lose, right? But you can't watch and not help get frustrated in a lot of ways. And I'm not getting frustrated about the defense when you're starting, in essence, three rookies in the secondary. You know, Ashton Davis actually looked pretty decent yesterday. Bryce Hall, I didn't think was that bad at all. It could have been worse, but Justin Herbert's a tremendous player, and he's got good weapons to work with. What I am frustrated with is the complete lack of imagination that the offense continually shows. When you are a team that does not have talent, you have to find other ways to win. And that means you have to outcoach the other team. That has not happened once this season. And maybe once or twice in 2 years. And whether Dow Loggins is calling the plays, whether Adam Gase is calling the plays, their little mystery yesterday that was going on during the game, I don't care. Neither one of them actually came up with anything imaginative. They remembered in the second half that you're actually in the game allowed to throw the football more than 10 yards in the air and allowed to throw the football to your wide receivers. It's almost as if somebody came into the locker room at halftime with a rule book saying, "Hey, I just found something out. Look at this." And so they tried to in the second half. You know, while it was a little bit better, have the Jets tried one trick play, one real misdirection play all season long? I mean, I'm not counting a jet sweep as that, so to speak. One fake punt. I know they've been burned by a fake punt. A fake field goal somewhere. Any sort of trick play on offense. Anything that might catch the other team napping. Anything. Like, actually throwing the ball down the field doesn't really count, but once they did it, it actually paid off. A reverse, something. I can't remember one all year. And when you're outmanned, you have to come up with something. Here's how you know how badly the Jets were outmanned yesterday. They're playing a 2-7 football team. With a rookie quarterback who's looked good, yes, but a 2-7 football team in a building where there are no fans whatsoever, and it's a brand new building, and the Jets were 10.5-point underdogs. That's how little everyone thinks of the talent they have. And then you go and look and see how much they've been outscored by. They've been outscored by 150 points this year. That's how bad they are. So when you are that bad, you have to come up with other ways to make games interesting, to keep things close. Whether it's a reverse pass, whether it's a sweep pass, whatever it is, you gotta try something. And Adam Gase isn't even trying anything. Dow Loggins isn't trying any of that. What are you saving it for? Honestly, what am I missing here? And I know we want them to lose. I understand that. But I've said this a few times this year, and specifically a few weeks ago. Why would I for a minute believe that Adam Gase at this point doesn't just want to get fired? Because that's what it looks like to me. He has come to the conclusion of what his fate is, and is going to ride that out. Like, why would I think otherwise? He just wants this to be over with. He's earning his money by staying and ensuring they get the number one pick. I guess we could say that. Other than that, where is he earning it? Where is he earning it? I had to sneeze, by the way. Everybody on the video stream got to see that. Hope you enjoyed it. This is my point. When you have a chance to at least try, why not? Why not show that you actually care? You know, Flacco can throw the football down the field, and it's like you just figured that out in the second half. You've got a couple of guys who are capable. I mean, Mims has shown himself to be capable. Take chances. Take shots. Try to make something happen. And not only that, just come up with something that they may not be expecting. You are just a bad, bad football team with very little talent. And now you have become the most predictable offensive team. Wow. I mean, that's a remarkably brutal combination. Kevin in Rockland is next on 98.7 ESPN. Kevin, how you doing, brother?
Doing, Carl.
What's going on?
I don't know if you remember me. I'm the guy we talk about Rick's Club American, and we talk about splitting our pants at the weddings.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Did both of those things.
Well, whatever. It's not a big
is
deal.
Rick still open or not?
What, my pants?
No.
Oh, Rick, I know your pants are still ripped. Rick's definitely still open, and it's still awesome.
Okay, all right, that's ever. Good. They had great wings.
But, but anyway, I want to talk about the Knicks, but I want to touch on the Jets real quick first also. Dude, Adam Gase is supposed to be an offensive genius, offensive guru. I mean, do something. Run an option. Anything. I mean, like, dude, do you care about, like, trying to get on a job anywhere ever in the history of football again?
Yeah.
And
you're not even trying anything remotely tricky that you haven't shown all season long. Nobody's sitting around waiting for it because you've become so brutally predictable in every way on offense.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want the Jets to win. But if I'm
watching
the game,
either.
I mean,
but at least you got to admit, even though you don't want them to win, it is counterintuitive to sit there and not get ticked off when they're doing some things like they're doing right now.
Oh, 100%. But let me get to the Knicks real quick. The Knicks, I mean, like, I agree with you with the Westbrook, and I said that before. Like, yeah, Westbrook's a flawed player. Don't get me wrong. If Westbrook comes here, he's the best player the Knicks have had in the last 5-7 years. And the last guy who came here by himself basically got ran out of town. Guys are not coming to a team that has zero chance of making the playoffs. If Westbrook comes here and we slide into a 7th, 8th seed, maybe a guy's like, you know what? Maybe I go there, I could be the difference maker. But
well,
if you go
there and you look at Westbrook and you look at some of the other pieces, if they develop, somebody in the short term could look at that and say, hey, you know what? Maybe I'd give that
150%.
A shot. Yeah.
And
these guys, besides, like, the long-term deals are the max deals that they're getting by staying put. You know, otherwise, everybody else, the big-time free agents, are signing, like, 2-year, 3-year deals with options, opt-outs, and all that.
The last thing I want to say about Westbrook, when's the last time the Knicks had a guy who averaged 10 assists or 10 rebounds? Westbrook would be the best rebounder the Knicks has had in the last 10 years.
Patrick, I got to go. Thanks for the call. I'm sorry we should cut it short, but that's the point. They haven't had him in forever. On Twitter, at Chris Carlin. By all means, fire away over there. We'll get to some of those shortly, including some who are siding with me on this whole Peter hosting alone on Friday bit, which is, it's just frankly garbage on his part, but that's, you know, to be expected. We'll discuss in just a little bit. We have done quite a bit in terms of the Knicks. We have done quite a bit in terms of the who were we just talking about? I'm out of my mind here. We're talking about the Jets a minute ago. And I got distracted like something shiny off in the distance. I swear to God, My ADD sometimes is just so out there.
I thought you sneezed again. I was like, what's going on?
No. I honestly brain locked for a half a second, Brian. Like, that's what's going on. My mind is just shot to hell these days. I did the game the other night. I felt like I got hit by a Mack truck on Sunday morning. It's a 4.5 hour game, 4 hours and 40 minutes.
That's college football for you.
Yeah, no kidding. Anyway, it was fun though. But we, you know, earlier today we had Sandy Alderson speaking and told the media two things. They are now focusing on two things in particular. Number one, they don't want to hire a president of baseball operations, as it turns out. They have gone down a couple of roads. They haven't really been able to get far with anybody. They haven't gotten permission from a couple of people to talk to people for the job. One thing that Sandy did say, though, is they didn't even reach out to Theo Epstein. Does that annoy you that they didn't even reach out to him? Unless they feel like definitively he's a year away and it's going to stick to that. And if that's the case, maybe they'll talk about doing it a year from now. But you can't do that and then have a GM. And that's what they seem to be focusing on right now, is hiring a general manager as opposed to a president of baseball operations. And that Sandy, for the moment, is going to have a more active role in being the president of baseball operations, as opposed to just what he was going to do before, which was be at the table, as he said, but looks and sounds more and more like he's going to be at the head of the table. And if that's the case, you know, I feel good about it. I feel good about Sandy being there. I think that he's, you know, just fine at this point to be in charge of it. I had no problem with him putting it all together. But for Sandy to do that, I think is a good thing. I don't think it's a good thing for the long haul, because I don't think that's what he had in mind. But I think it's a good thing for the short term. The one thing I understand why they did it, but I'm still far from convinced. You'll remember that when they hired Luis Rojas after the whole Carlos Beltran debacle, I was not for the move. And the reason being, I felt like the Mets were in a situation in a shortened year where they needed to have someone there who had had the experience of being a manager before, of understanding what that was all about. And at the time, I felt, frankly, that they should have given Terry Collins an opportunity to do that. But, you know, it worked out the way that it did, and Rojas came on. Now, I am not going to sit there and bury Luis Rojas off of what happened this year, because it was such a bizarre season, and the Mets were in the midst of the sale and everything that goes with that, and the uncertainty around COVID and dealing with all of it, that you didn't really, to me, I had a lower expectation for the Mets than others did. And so when they didn't deliver, I wasn't that shocked. I really wasn't. So Rojas did not have a very big impact on this team. You know, guys may like him, all that stuff. That's fine. But I didn't see a team that was better because Luis Rojas was the manager. I didn't see all these amazing qualities and everything that he had done, all of the just all of the goodwill he had built up with a lot of the younger players in coming up through the organization, making a difference. I am far from sold on Luis Rojas being the guy, and he's going to get an opportunity for this coming year. But that's basically about it. Good for him. I want Luis Rojas to succeed. I don't know that he's going to be a great manager just because he's done all of these different things through baseball, through the Mets organization throughout the years. I don't feel great about that. I don't. Now, if they're adding more talent, that's obviously going to make him look a lot better. And the Mets do need to add talent. I'm going to continue to stress that from this standpoint. It's not trade, it's add. It's George Springer whether or not they want to get in on Real Muto, whether or not they want to get in on LeMahieu, and certainly Trevor Bauer, the Mets have to be in the adding talent mentality. And you heard Sandy talk about it earlier today, something I discussed quite a bit last week, the need for depth. And, you know, they made a couple of minor signings last week in terms of that. But I'm talking about some of the guys that they have already that are everyday players that have shown they can play every day, yes, but you wouldn't mind having them in more of a role off of the bench or more versatility. I wouldn't mind having J.D. Davis not be in your everyday lineup. I wouldn't mind not having Brandon Nimmo in your everyday lineup, even though he had a good year this past year. I wouldn't mind seeing them playing more of a depth role. You know, Nimmo being able to come in and play a couple of different outfield positions to spell guys during the week. J.D. Davis with a little bit of versatility as well between playing some left and playing some third, even though he's not very good in left. This is my point. Sandy's focusing more on the depth, and I think that's a very good thing. Outside of the manager, one other thing, too, that he mentioned is that they're not a player away. And I thought that was great. So outside of the manager, I think there's a lot of good things that he had to say today that have you very positive about what's happening outside of the Steve Cohen development. So, we'll, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic, but really want to see how this free agency period plays out, how much they're going to be able to add as opposed to trade away. I don't think they're going to be doing much trading away. I think your ideas on Arenado or Lindor, I would not be terribly optimistic that that's the kind of thing that's going to happen. Arenado only if it's strictly a salary dump. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. We return to the calls. Nick in Rockaway. Nick, what's going on with you tonight, brother?
How's it going, Carlin?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. So I want to talk about the Knicks situation. I'm not really a basketball fan. I enjoy the sport. I enjoy playing. I just never really latch onto a team. But I've heard all this talk about Russell Westbrook and everything. And I just saw on Facebook that Isaiah Thomas is a free agent. Is he an option for the Knicks to consider? Or is
I would not go down that road.
No, with the injuries and everything. I don't know.
And I just don't think he fits what you're looking for right now. I really don't. I know the idea of wanting to get more talent there, but I think Isaiah Thomas's time has really passed.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Fine. Hey, I appreciate your opinion, and you have a happy holiday, all right?
You as well. Thank you, Nick, for checking in. And so, friends, we have discussed quite a bit about the Knicks. We could take your calls on the fact that they, you know, really didn't do anything. We will also take more of your calls on Sandy and the Mets and how close we're getting here to the Mets actually making some moves and getting close to the Mets having a new general manager. We will also discuss, as we have just a bit, the Jets, Adam Gase, and why he's really at this point, in my estimation, just trying to end it as soon as he can. But I digress. You know, I got to say, and this was just a weird moment for me this weekend. Get on the lines right now, by the way. Oh, they're open up. 800-919-3776. Good time to get through. So I'm at the Rutgers game on Saturday night. And, you know, everybody's doing their part to be socially distant, to make sure that they're doing all the right things and being very cognizant of one another in and around the press box, because there's nobody there. There's only the operations people who are really running the game, and obviously myself and Ray and Fuch and our engineer producer Paul Schrager, and Eric Legrand's been doing the games with us, but he's been doing them from home for safety's sake. And so I'm walking around at halftime, just kind of clearing my head, taking a little break, drinking some water. And someone came up to me and was saying just some lovely things. Nice guy, out of nowhere. And he's got the mask halfway down, and he sticks out his hand to shake my hand. And I just looked at it for a second. And honest to God, the way things are going, it felt like he was handing me a bomb. Like, that's what's happened to me mentally. I'd be happy to shake hands. I'm a hugger. I'm a guy that put my arm around you, slap you on the back. I'll be that guy. And I shook his hand, but I hesitated. I'm like, oh. And I went in and did it because I didn't want to be rude. But immediately, my head's on a swivel looking for a hand sanitizing station. And it's nothing against this guy personally. But that's what it's become here. It's so weird. It was as if he was handing me a bomb. That's what it felt like. Brian, am I alone in this? Has anybody tried to shake your hand during all of this kind of stuff? Because for me, it was the first time it has happened in months.
Well,
I get the elbow. I occasionally get the fist. I put that the wrong way. I get, bump the fist.
Yeah.
But, it's not anything too crazy like that. That's about as far as it goes. Has anybody tried to shake your
hand? Well, I take sometimes, to work, I take mass transit.
Okay.
So, there's people that come on your train stop and get really, really close to you asking for money.
Okay.
And sometimes they have a mask, and sometimes they do not have a mask.
And that will make you a little uneasy.
Yes. And I have to be like, okay, walk away a little. Like, I'd be like, mask, where's your mask? Like, I have to be that guy. But it's because
I know.
It's very annoying because I'm like, I'm a little paranoid now, because I don't want to get sick. I don't want to get my family sick. So,
sure. I mean, listen.
It's very annoying. Very,
I know.
Very annoying.
And it's frustrating for a guy like me in particular, just because I am the slap you on the back, hug you kind of guy. Like, that's who I am. And then all of a sudden I've become this other person that I don't want to be. And it's unfortunate, but it's the situation that we're in. And I just looked at him, and like, there was no thought on his part that I had offended him. He understood. But I did shake his hand. And even afterward, I was like, I don't know. Should I have not done it? Should I have done it? I didn't want to offend the guy. He was saying such nice things, really unprovoked. And so I was just trying to be, as respectful as possible. But that really threw me off. And I'm just wondering if other people have had that same kind of thing. And I'm not looking to get into the whole thing about the virus or any of that right now. Not at all. Just that particular aspect of it. Like, I miss that human connection with people in the worst way, because, like, after it, I was like, oh, normally I'd say, I'd spend 10 minutes BSing with that guy. I couldn't, because I had to go back and do the second half. But, basically putting my arm around a guy, hugging him, the whole thing. Really nice on his part. But it just completely threw me off. Completely. I don't know. 800-919-3776. Maybe I'm just a jerk. How about that? Andres in Flushing is next. 98.7 ESPN. Andres, what's going on tonight, brother?
What's up, Colin? How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. So I was just listening to what you were saying. You sounded pretty upset about Gase and the Jets, and just something about the Mets after that. About Gase and the Jets, man, listen, I think the guy is doing the best job you could want a coach in this situation for the Jets to do. Why even take a risk of winning a game?
Yeah, I know. I know. I am being hypocritical. There's no question I'm being hypocritical. I want them to lose. I want them to have the number one pick. I don't want them to have the number one pick and have Trevor Lawrence not want to come here. But I understand he's doing the best that he can, because, frankly, that's his job right now, without making it look like they're tanking completely, And I know that coaches want to win games. I understand that. But that's the thing. Like, I've always been taught that coaches have one mindset and players have one mindset, and that's to win games, and they're not thinking about draft picks. But Gase has to know at this point he's not going to be back next year. Of course he knows that. So why would it matter to him either way than try to go win some games? That's all I'm saying.
Well, look, he's going to – any other team is going to look at him and say, all right, he didn't think just of himself and ruin their chances. Plus, when you say about Lawrence not wanting to come here, in every sport, you know, the number one pick usually goes to the very worst team. Very far and few and far between are the guys that actually don't go where they're drafted. And it's always a horrible team. I mean, I can probably on one hand, in all sports together in the last 10 years, people have decided not to go. It doesn't happen, really.
No, it doesn't happen very often. It happened notably with Eli. It happened, you know, notably with John Elway. It happened, you know, notably with Peyton Manning, who went back to college. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going back to college, but I do think there's a chance that he could say, I'm not playing for the Jets.
Well, anything can happen. But also when the Mets.
Yeah.
I think that as soon as – I think actually I love Sandy. I believe he's the best guy for the job. I'm so glad Colin brought him back, because what the Wilpon did to him was an absolute shame, and it was a disgrace.
But yeah, I hated it. I hated it at the time.
I think Sandy absolutely contacted Epstein. I think he knows for a fact Epstein wants to take a year off, and I believe – I'm saying today, Epstein will be our president next year.
Yeah, the only problem is if you're going to hire a general manager and it's not somebody who's interim, then what are you doing to the president of operations when he comes in and he can't hire his own guy? You know, that it all presents all little problems there. So I don't know that they're going to be hiring a GM at this point, or rather a president of baseball ops at this point when they say they're hiring a GM. Because you're telling whoever that is, you're giving them what, a 2 or 3 year deal at most, and you're in essence saying you're not going to be in charge of making any decisions here moving forward. Why would they come?
Well, look, the president, whoever he would have been, he was going to sign a GM also. You have a president and a GM. I think they're going to sign a GM, and he's going to be an Epstein guy. I think whoever they sign as GM will be a guy that Epstein will work with, has worked with, something like that. And I think Epstein will be here next year.
Appreciate the call. I appreciate the call. Let's call him Theo instead of Epstein. How about that? Like, that's unfortunate when you get that last name now and you're Theo and you had done a lot of good things for that name. And now it's, you know, let's stick to Theo. How about that? I'm sure Theo wants us to stick to Theo right now.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.